Well, good morning, church. Wonderful to see you here. Beautiful Sunday morning for us to gather. If we haven't met before, my name is Chris Kendall, and I'm one of the pastors here. You know, over the last week, we began this sermon series where we're looking through the book of Colossians. Colossians was written somewhere between 60 to 62 A.D., which is over 1,900 years ago. And Paul, the reason why Paul wrote the letter was that the church in Colossae was being infiltrated by people who had a distorted faith. These infiltrators, or this outside influence, there was this focus on angels. There was a focus upon having to be Jewish first before you became a Christian. And there is this idea of special knowledge, secret knowledge in blessings. And so the church there was having to spend a great deal of time trying to distinguish between what was true and what wasn't true, what was the word of God and what wasn't the word of God. And in that world where they lived, in Colossae, there was also blending of religions. There was a focus upon man's effort and a proclamation of a secular faith, kind of similar to what we are seeing and experiencing today. And so Paul is coming to address it. And he doesn't attack the heresy, but he emphasizes the truth. He doesn't say, this isn't what we believe. He says, this is what we believe. You know, Jan has this comment, this illustration that she's used for years. You know, when the IRS and the Secret Service, when they're teaching agents to discover, to suss out counterfeit bills, they don't study the counterfeit bills, they study the real money. Because once you know real money real well, you can spot the fakes. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. He isn't saying, well, this isn't false belief, this isn't false belief. He's saying, this is real belief. This is the real Jesus. Because once we know the real Jesus, then we're going to be able to spot the fakes. You know, many in our day know that there's a lot of wrong out there, but they don't know what the truth is, right? They are not able to identify the counterfeit because they don't know the real thing that well. And Paul does that this morning. He does that in our text from Colossians 1, 15 through 20. He underlines these distinctives of our faith. And in these five verses, he talks about the distinctiveness of Jesus, and quite different from what we hear in the world. So the first thing that Paul says about Jesus is that he is unique. Colossians 1:15, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. You know, when we claim that Jesus is unique, we are making a statement of faith. We are taking a stand, right? We're saying that there is no one like him. Nothing at all compares to Jesus. Now, Paul tells us that Jesus was more than one of the prophets. In fact, he speaks in much stronger terms. He says Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the firstborn over all of creation. And there are other places where these statements of faith are proclaimed in Scripture, and these are just a few. In John chapter 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Hebrews chapter 1:3, it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. 2 Corinthians says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Right, so the Bible, the Word of God, makes this claim that Jesus stands uniquely as God in human form. He reveals God's image to us. He is the image of the invisible God. And since God is invisible, this image of God really has nothing at all to do with what God looks like. He is the image of God in the sense that he possesses God's nature and God's character. When you look at Jesus, you see God. He existed before anything and was created and is supreme over all of creation. Jesus has priority and importance. Paul is referring to the fact that the highest honor belongs to him, to Jesus, because he is number one. This text shows us that any presentation of Jesus that is less than divine is a false presentation. Anyone, anything that seeks to make Jesus merely a good man or a good teacher or a prophet of God is teaching a lie. Jesus is uniquely God because he came to rescue us. Now, Paul doesn't stop there in telling us how Jesus is uniquely God in human form. He goes on to emphasize his point. He says that Jesus is creator. Jesus is the creator. Colossians 1:16 says these words. It says, for through him God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. Right? Jesus was not one of the created. Right? God did not create Jesus. Jesus has eternally coexisted with God. Jesus was there when the world was formed. And he created all things in the heavenly realms and on earth. Everything that exists comes from him. He alone is supreme. He alone is God. Now notice, not only is Jesus the agent of creation, he is the reason for creation. Paul says everything was created through him and for him. Right, the purpose of creation, the purpose of our being in existence is to bring praise and honor to the Son of God. Now, the practical impact, the practical nature of these truths have some incredible implications. Right, since Christ created all things, we owe our allegiance and our worship to him. Since Christ created all things, he understands us and the needs we have better than we do. Since Christ created all things, nothing can hurt us if we rest in him. There is no power in this world superior to him. Since Christ created all things, he is the end of all things. And only the person who is following him is heading in the right direction. Now Paul continues in Corinthians or Colossians. He says that he is the sustainer, that he existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. Right? Thanks be to God that Jesus didn't simply create the world and then walk away. His leadership and his lordship over creation is essential for every moment of every day. Were Jesus to take his hands off of us for a mere minute, our world would fall apart. Right? He is the one that keeps things going. He makes the sun to shine, the rain to fall, the earth to rotate, the seasons to come and go. He is the one who continues to grant us life in our bodies. And at any moment, he could withdraw his hand and we would be finished. And because he is our sustainer, the implications are simple, right? We need to be humble. We are not independent in the fullest sense of the world. Without him, we can do nothing. And so because we have Jesus, we need to be grateful. Because every single day we live is a gift from our Lord. Every day we wake up and we have breath in our lungs is a reason to praise God. Paul continues in verse 18 by saying that Jesus is the head of the church. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. Right? We are his body. We are the body of Christ. We are to do the will of God. He is the one that calls the shots. Right? Do we understand what that means? It means that the church is most effective when we trust God's ways rather than our ways. And the healthy church spends time in prayer, seeking God's direction. Right? It's important that we remember that no individual can change a human life. Only God can. Right? Our job is not to call people to an organization, but we call them to Christ. Jesus is the one who leads the way. He is the one who pioneered our path. And if we want to find life beyond the grave, we must follow him. Right? There is no other way of salvation. Number five, Jesus is supreme over all. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Right? Jesus is supreme. There is no one above him. There is no one, no thing that is more important. And that means Jesus is to have first place in our thinking, in our worship, in our work, in our families, in our leisure activities, in our use of money, in our use of time. If Jesus is supreme over all, he's supreme over it all. Not a part, not a parcel, not a day of the week, but every moment of every day. And lastly, Paul says that Jesus is sufficient. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20 says, "For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." You know, Paul tells us that Christ's work on our behalf accomplished everything necessary for salvation. That there is nothing that needs to be added to his work. That we don't have to look for God. He has made himself available to us in Christ. You know, Paul is saying that there are not many ways to salvation. There is one way to salvation. Jesus himself said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We don't need anything else other than Christ's work on our behalf. And any other way of salvation is delusional. The sufficiency of Christ is not only in terms of our salvation, but in every aspect of our lives. His wisdom is sufficient to overcome our confusion. His presence is sufficient to fill the ache of our loneliness. His peace is sufficient to give us his strength for the trials of life. His word is a sufficient guide for our lives. His sacrifice is sufficient to pay for your sins. Right, the devil's first priority is to get us to turn away from Christ. And if the devil can't get us to turn away and to worship him, he will seek to distort the image of Christ so that we serve an illusion and not a reality. And this is a pervasive act in our world today. Our world has become fascinated with the spiritual, but don't mistake these things for a road to Christ. The road to heaven runs through Jesus and Jesus alone. You know, who is it that you serve? Which Christ do you serve? Do you serve a watered-down version of Jesus? Or are you serving the Christ of Scripture? Do you recognize Jesus as God? Do you acknowledge him as creator and sustainer and the end of all that is? Do you recognize him as the one who is sufficient for your every need? Because this is the Jesus that saves. This is the true Jesus. This is the Jesus that can transform heart and mind. And every other Jesus is a fraud. So which Jesus are you following? The true Jesus asks you to follow him, to rest in his arms, and to trust what he can do for you. Are you willing to rest in that? Rest in that Jesus. The challenge for you and I are to not only to learn these truths, but to believe in them and then to build our lives on them. Because following the real Jesus will not only help you to keep from compromising your faith or falling into error, it will also lead you into the life that you've always longed for. Jesus is the adventure. Jesus is that place of adventure we all long for. And will you follow him? Will you rest your lives? Will you entrust your lives into the Jesus of the Scriptures? Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word for us. And we're grateful, God, for reminding us or telling us exactly who Jesus is. Jesus isn't simply a good man or a wonderful teacher or a prophet. He is God. God from God. True light from true light. Thank you, Jesus, that you are all we need. It isn't special truths. It isn't tradition handed down. It's you. And so, Jesus, we pray this morning that we would entrust our lives in a fuller sense to who you are. Lord, help us to deny ourselves and to take up your cross and to follow after you. Jesus, we pray all this in your precious name. Amen.